Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
And I'm still Father Dave.
And I'm happy.
I'm sure you are.
I'm so happy. First of all, I'm happy you're listening.
Yes.
Thank you, all of you who are listening and sending copious emails.
Yes.
I'm sure our internet's down. But I know once this podcast is done,
what brought it down. It crashed it.
We crashed the internet. Thank you, all of our fans, dozens of fans who broke the internet, telling us about products they would like us to plug.
Amen. We love to do that, though.
Yeah, we really do. We really do. And it's actually been fun building up a community of people that we get to see. I was just seeing somebody from Cleveland. Oh, Cleveland. A moment of silence.
Yeah. Although, honestly, they did pretty
darn
good. They did a lot better than anybody expected.
They had an incredible season.
This is becoming a sports podcast.
Is that wrong?
Slowly, no.
Is that wrong?
But we have to think about who's listening.
Well, hopefully Tampa Bay fans are listening. We won't go into it too much, but oh my goodness.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, your little pep talk last week really inspired them. It's like, you've done fine.
And, you know, and I went into the game thinking, you know, they don't have to win. And then as they were, like, about to win, you know, as it was a tie game, it was a great, great game. I was getting so nervous. And I really thought, I'm just going to go upstairs. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to surrender to the Lord, and someone's going to knock on
my door. It's just a game.
Someone's going to knock on the door and be like, hey, they lost, or hey, they won. And I'll be like, whatever. Jesus
blessed
is Lord.
Lord.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
But oh, I'm so glad they won. I was so happy.
I was traveling and just trying to keep eye on the game on my phone, and it was like, oh my gosh, they might win. And then I ended in a restaurant that had a TV. It's like, oh my goodness,
I couldn't believe it.
I actually said you were going to be insufferable today.
I might be, but I
thank the Lord we're not in class because you're poor students.
Oh, my poor students. It would be pretty bad. Hey, love to all the Saint fans out there, by the way. This is the painful thing about sports. For as excited as somebody is, somebody else is equally devastated. And I really like the Saints. Like, to be honest, if they're not playing the Buccaneers, I love Drew Brees. I love the Saints.
I was in New Orleans one time doing a retreat, and I visited the little elementary school, Catholic elementary school, and was just talking to the kids, and I was talking about St. Francis, and I said, okay, who's your favorite saint? And the little kid raises his hand and says, Drew Brees. And he was totally serious. Like, he wasn't at all. Like, he was just, and then he kind of realized it's like, that's probably not what you were asking.
Wrong context. Wrong context.
It was really fun.
So yeah, just a little hope of things that it was just fun.
Yeah, that whole little hopes thing that Pope Benedict threw out to us. We're going to hold on to that.
I think so.
Honestly, though, okay, a little hope for me was I was invited to speak to a conference this weekend, which was in Florida.
Yeah.
Sun, water.
Oh, you got your sun.
It was so, honestly.
That we never seem to get in
Steubenville,
Ohio.
Honestly, okay, and here's the.
It's not true. That's a lie. That's the tourism industry very upset with you at that.
I'm not the one who said it. You did.
No, you in the beginning of the year was like, I haven't seen a day of sun in Steubenville. It's because you don't go outside.
So this morning was hysterical. I do go outside, all right?
Okay, anyway, this morning was hysterical.
It was awful. So I'm, you know, Bob and I gather this morning to do our show and just.
And you were a little bit late.
I don't think so. 8:05 is what I said, right?
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So I, you know, open up, unlock the door, and the door won't open. And it was iced.
Of your car.
So I said, well, I'll just go to the other door. All the doors were iced closed. And I'm thinking, well, how hard should I pull it because it's going to pull off the handle? So I didn't know what to do. So then I opened up the hatch of the car. So this, you know, it does. So if somebody was watching, that would be great. So I'm climbing in the back of my car, and I push open the side door, and then I'm getting out. And as I'm getting out, my Birkenstock falls off. So I'm walking around in snow with one shoe, trying to find my Birkenstock, which was underneath the car. So then I had to crawl in through the side door, and then over to the front door and push open the front door. So good morning, everybody.
That's a way to wake up.
Honestly, it was so funny. I was thinking, oh, Lord, I just hope nobody's watching this because it's like, well,
better
Father Dave's back.
Better you than Father Denny.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, he'd still be under the car at this point.
he would be. He would be.
Now, wait a second. You did mention your sandal fell off, and you don't wear socks with sandals, do you?
No.
Whoop.
Of course not.
Okay, just want to be sure.
In fact, I'm kind of offended you would even ask.
Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
How's it been since you last came? Oh, let's do this offline.
Yeah, yeah. We'll hit pause. That'll be in the extended version, the uncut version of
Right. For those who pay for it, actually nobody pays.
But sometimes there's friars that rock the socks with sandals. Let's be honest.
No, there is.
This isn't you.
No.
Some of your compatriots might not have what is known as fashion sense.
You're not wrong. My sister, a long time ago, she said, Dave, my job is to make sure that you don't look like that, you know, 60-year-old priest that's down the road. And it's like, everybody looks at him and says, oh, he's a priest.
That's so, right. Casual day for when the friars go out social and you go, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Nine friars in black pants.
Ted Nugent called. He wants his clothes back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ted Nugent wants his clothes.
What?
I missed that.
You ever see Ocean's 11? A quote from a movie.
Oh, yeah. I saw the movie. Yeah, that was a good movie. I missed that.
But I'm referring to just poor
dressing.
Or like kind of obnoxious, you know, like things that seems like they were at the bottom of a chest for a while. Really, they dust it off. Still have the creases on them because they haven't been worn for a while. What's it like knowing what you're going to wear every day for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't spend a lot of time in my closet.
Well, Steve Jobs and I both, you know.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar vows.
Yeah, it's funny that this event that they had, one of the events for the dinners, it was dress up and people were talking about what they were going to wear. And somebody at my table, whom I had not met before, she had the same realization. She said, like, you never have to think about what you're going to dress. I said, actually, no, not really. It's not bad. It's not bad. But here's, when you said that, it made me laugh because when I was a student here at the university, I was finally shared that I was going to join the community. And this guy comes up to me. He doesn't say congratulations. He doesn't say, oh, that's great. You know, you're going to be a priest, that guy. He looks at me and goes, what's it like to know where you're going to be buried?
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, I had not thought about that, right? But all the friars are buried in the same place. So
really?
It's like, well, yeah, yeah.
In the same hole, just
well,
a big
no,
pit.
Not the same. No. Good Lord, Bob. No, it's not just a big pit. All right. It's a nice cemetery. It's beautiful.
Is it in Loretto?
Yep.
Okay, that's cool.
But honestly, it is nice to not have to worry about that, not have to worry about what I'm going to wear and that kind of thing.
How much, now you've done a lot of vocational discernment with students, and of course you've discerned your own vocation.
I did.
Hopefully you did okay. Yep. How much outfit goes into vocational discernment, you find, with students at least?
No, it's interesting. It is something I think that
I mean, not to be vain, that would really be a thing like, well, do I look better in white or black?
I don't know that it's that, but I think there is, honestly, it's interesting to say that because I think that there is an identity that goes with it. So there is something about being represented as a friar. And while that's important at the beginning, I think some people too much importance on what they're wearing. You know, it's like, I always joke, at the Franciscan University, we've got a vocations fair in the fall where we probably, what do you think, 40 different religious communities.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It really is incredible. You know, I mean, especially when you go to the chapel that day for church and you just see like every
religious and I think
order.
We should have a fashion show. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
You know, just line them up and right. Just, you know, all sisters sporting, you know, Pierre Cardin. Well, probably not, but
probably not. maybe some. Those aren't the ones that show up at
Franciscan.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, like we don't want the high fashion religious orders. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I get it.
People that care about such things.
I get it.
Okay, good. Well, you just gave me a look. Someday if you ever see the videos
yeah,
of these podcasts,
right.
You'll get all
Father
the,
Dave gives
all the
lots
eye rolls, all the looks.
Father Dave gives lots of looks.
that's really the whole reason we should
yeah,
do
but
that.
It's great to be. Actually, it was a great weekend. The weather was beautiful. And the students are starting to show up. So that's just a great blessing. It's great to be back on campus.
And
things are
praise God.
Back. Yep.
Well, speaking of students, our classes are starting, which is fun. And here is a promo for some of our classes. Oh, hey, today we're talking about the Master of Arts in Catechetics and Evangelization. It's pretty sweet. If you have an evangelistic heart and you want to do pastoral work for the church, I invite you to look into Franciscan University's online Master of Arts in Catechetics and Evangelization, what we affectionately call the MACE program, or as Don Ashe calls it, the MACE.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit more
Italian, kind of classy. Yep.
You know, I studied the MACE. As the MACE director, I can assure you this two-year fully online program will prepare you for catechetical work for the church or for further academic studies. No name dropping, but I'm told you'll learn from some of the world's leading catechists and theologians.
Who might that be, Bob?
I just said I would not drop names, but you can.
Might you teach a class?
Well,
now that you mention it.
Now that you said it, I didn't want to brag. It's an asynchronous program, and you can look that up on Google. So you can log on when convenient and immerse yourself in such courses as biblical catechetics, evangelizing young people, moral theology. Ooh, Don Ashley teaches that, and many more. Most students finish in about 2 years. Learn more about the Master of Arts in Catechetics and Evangelization at franciscan.edu. And it is fun. It is fun to start classes. It's fun to start even online classes. One of my favorite things with every online class, at least the ones I teach, because the master's degree is about people in ministry, I just ask them their background. Why are you here? What kind of ministry do you do? It is crazy. Yeah, I mean, students around the world in, I mean, a suburban parish, or I had one who was doing underground youth ministry in Iraq. I mean, just the stories and the stuff they share. I mean, it's really incredible. It's just a great, I get so much out of those classes, just connecting with evangelists and catechists from around the world. So
that's cool. That's awesome.
It's very, very beautiful.
That's awesome.
This week is,
well,
oh, go ahead.
Today is a big day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
so, it's a huge day.
So the inauguration is probably taking place as this is being released.
Right. So this we record on Mondays, but we release on Wednesday. And so I'm sure
you hear this.
If you're still alive.
Yeah. Seriously, I was talking to somebody recently, and they were just and this is Bob, you and I go back to this time and time again. They were spending a lot of time just reading about the struggles, and like she very openly said, you know, I'm just afraid. And I just kind of being snarky. And I said, yeah, just remind me.
You were snarky.
Yeah, I was. I said, just remind me, is fear of the Lord? And she was kind of quiet. I was kind of ribbing her. And she just kind of stopped and she said, no. But she was frightened about, you know, what's going to take place and is there going to be military action? And I said, sister, you just need to quit paying attention to the news. Quit reading. I mean, just take a 48 hours off, you know? And I would encourage people to do that.
We've, as a church and as people of faith, we've survived all sorts of administrations.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in some ways, at least in terms of the secular world, at least in our country, you know, we've turned the role of the President of the United States into some kind of divine, you know, action where we expect the government to solve all our problems and save the world and cure diseases and pay for people's it's really crazy how much we have over the decades just empowered the office of the President of the United States to be so much more to be so much more than what it is. I mean, in a sense, we're just kind of always wondering, why can't the government take care of our problems?
Right. And it goes back to our very beginning, Bob, and we're going to go back to this time and time again, and that if our hope is in those institutions, we're always going to be disappointed. We're always going to be frightened. We're always going to be nervous. We're always going to be anxious. Yeah. I think the next 4 years are going to be difficult for the church, and that there is going to be a more intensive attack against the church. I think all that's true, but it doesn't mean that it needs to rob our faith.
Right.
It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't Lord. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love us and forgive us and be present to us. And people need to just, you know, be at peace with that.
Yeah. And hope and pray and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that just means we have to be more active, more raising our voice.
I think so. Absolutely.
You know, to
Absolutely.
Issues. I mean, that's just what's ahead of us.
Yeah.
And okay. I mean, I think with the Spirit of God, we say, bring it on.
Yeah. If we look at historical context, there's always been times like this,
right?
You know, and we just, the church, and actually not only the church, that's fine. The church often thrives.
Yeah.
And it raises up men and women of faith and of integrity and of courage. And I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to look back years from now and God is going to raise up people.
Yeah.
And
it's only through adversity that people get
absolutely,
raised up.
Absolutely.
You know, this morning,
like me getting in my car,
like
adversity,
and you broke through.
I did.
I mean, literally the ice.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Oh man, I so badly.
But you may have been going somewhere else.
I might have been, but now I'm just I'm just making a note to myself to ask security if there was a video in the parking lot that we could show a little bit later, because that would just be a great, that would just be a wonderful
moment. That's
right.
Moment. That's right. Yeah. The intro, right?
Yeah, exactly. That'll be our tag. That'll be like our sitcom start, you know, of our show. We'll just show you like awkwardly awkwardly climbing into your car. No, I was reading today's feast day. Of course, this is 2 days late, but there's a number of saints that are celebrated today, and one of them...
Christian Unity, I thought we were
going to... No, we're going to talk about Christian Unity, but this ties in with the suffering.
Okay, sorry.
Because that's another thing that's happening. But just the Office of Readings today was talking about a Pope, Fabian?
Okay.
Sure. Fabio? I can't believe it's not butter. The comment was, what a wonderful thing it was that he died for the faith, and what a wonderful thing it is that we have so many people who are persecuting the church to give us the opportunity to die for the faith. And this was written in, you know, the third century, mm-hmm. you know, and there was a lot of Christian persecution. And just that attitude of this this saint was writing about how grateful he was for the persecution of the church, because it is bringing about so many incredible witnesses of mm-hmm. the faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to look forward to for the next 4 years. You know, maybe not actual physical martyrdom, God willing, but God willing, that doesn't happen, I mean.
Right. And let's also bear in mind, again, the danger is to say that the last 4 years have been a cakewalk. It is the nature of being a Christian should be at odds to the world. And to say that any particular individual is going to make this utopia, it just isn't true. We're reminded in the scriptures that this is not our home. And if we're never in conflict with the world, then we have made peace with the world too much, you know. Yeah. And that has to be a part of our Christian life, is that, you know, it impacts what entertainment we watch and who we spend time with and how we recreate. All of those kinds of things should challenge us to be in contrast to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I think one challenge in contrast to the world is something that the church is asking us to pray mm-hmm. for this week, which is Christian unity. This is the week of Christian unity. I don't know. Is that a bishop's thing? Do they time it around inauguration, or is that just the Lord's timing of things?
I think it's probably just the Lord's timing. It's always kind of this week.
Right.
Might it be traditionally part of the March for Life in that week, because it's always in the same right. week? So it might have. Obviously, this isn't going to happen because that's not till next week, and we'll deal with that next week. But I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But what a beautiful time that the church is encouraging all of us to pray for unity in the body of Christ. I mean, I think sometimes we don't need to look too far for that unity. It's even people that go to church with us. I mean, there's, you know, I talk to my Protestant friends and they're like, oh, wow, all you Catholics are united. I'm like, no, we're not. They might not have like started a new church, but obviously there's a lot of division even within the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great thing to pray, that we would be reconciled to each other.
Can I just build on that? Because I think it's really important that oftentimes when it is that we're being invited to reflect on Christian unity, those who are not Catholic. And yet I think it is important for us to recognize that we need to be united in our church first. You know, so sometimes who are the people in our church, in our pews, the people we disagree with, that we really pray for Christian unity? And it can't just be praying. There has to be some action, you know,
right.
to be able to reach out to somebody and try to bring reconciliation.
I hope they would come to their senses and join us.
Yeah,
Amen.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. That's absolutely right. If they would just think like me, we'll be united.
Only they would read the catechism.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, which one, right?
Exactly. The beauty of that is, right, we should be doing things together. We should be praying. We should be learning about each other. I think that's a really important part. You know, in a couple weeks, I'm really excited. I mentioned this earlier, but I'll be doing a...
Your birthday?
Well, it will be my birthday, uh-huh. but let's save that for
okay.
the important stuff.
Right.
No, I'm going to be working with Young Life, which is a group of evangelical Protestants primarily, and, you know, doing ministry to young people. I was really blessed by Young Life when I was a young person. And I'm hanging out with them. I'm working on these classes. It's a talk about Catholics and evangelicals doing ministry together, because I think particularly in the Protestant realm, evangelicals and Catholics have a lot in common, mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. least in terms of a missionary zeal, mm-hmm. of a commitment to orthodoxy,
And I think that's important, Bob, is to be able to look at what we have in common.
Yeah.
So oftentimes all we focus in is what separates us. And there are things, and they're legitimate. We're not saying that those things don't matter. But we also need to be able to take a look at what we have in common.
Yeah.
I had two interesting experiences one time. I actually like when Protestant groups invite me to speak for a couple of things. One is it allows them, oftentimes they've never seen a religious or a Franciscan, and it allows that introduction. But also be able, when they say, I didn't realize that you guys believe Jesus was Lord, right?
Yeah,
things
right.
like that. But so that's a great blessing. But I had an experience one time, this was at a Catholic event, and at the beginning I was talking about Jesus' death and resurrection and how he saved us and the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the talk, this woman came up to me, and I know what she meant. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. She said, "When are you going to start talking about the Catholic things?" and again, I know what she meant, but right. it was like, ma'am, I mean, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a Catholic thing.
It's a very Catholic
right?
thing.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
But sometimes, and I even find in our own Catholic faith, it's so easy to talk about other than Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that is a gift that our Protestant brothers and sisters can remind us to. You know, they're so focused on that gospel message, and some people are like, well, that's all they have. Well, I mean, they seem to do a lot more with less if that's how you're viewing things. And just that focus on our Lord, focus on Jesus. You know, sadly, for many Catholics, you talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and they're like, that's a Protestant thing. You know, we don't do that. You know, we don't call him Jesus. We call him the Lord, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even with my students, I'm often just encouraging them, just stop saying Christ, start saying Jesus, you know, when you're sharing, because it's a title. Mm-hmm. Lord is a title. Jesus is the name above all names, and he gave us his name, and he's inviting us to call us by his name. And I think those are real benefits of unity and opportunity to grow in faith.
Yeah, so as we were talking about just a second, the invitation is to do something practical. You know, I must say that I was raised in a very Catholic world. I don't think I went to a Protestant service or really had till I was maybe 21, 22. So it was just this Catholic world. Now I had some of my best friends were not Catholic, but in just the interaction with that world was something, it was just not part of my growing up. So encourage somebody, I don't know, to read an article or to reach out to somebody that's, and just try to learn something. Don't try to teach something.
Listen.
Yeah, exactly. Just make a point that you're going to reach out to somebody and you're just going to be able to listen to them.
It's been one of the great blessings of the pro-life movement.
Well, I thought you were going somewhere else.
Oh, I could.
But no, you've got a really rich background with the Protestant brothers and sisters.
I do.
And fair to say, you probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them.
Amen.
Yeah, so there's a great grace in that.
Yeah, that is a great grace. But I was saying the pro-life movement, one of the great things has been a unity and mission. I mean, I think that's what we can come together with, you know, is just a unity and mission. And I think particularly as we face a difficult time in the church, you know, it's not just a difficult time for Catholics. I mean, it's a difficult time for people of faith in many ways. And so I think hopefully one of the graces of the difficulties that we may well face over the next few years is a greater unity of all believers, all disciples of Jesus Christ, no matter what congregation or church they belong to, that we can come together with a proclamation of the dignity of life, of the need of religious freedom, of the love of God, charity, you know, just all of those things which the gospel values, which we learn from Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God can do amazing things when we come together in unity. I mean, it was Jesus's final prayer. Mm-hmm. He wanted us to be one, and it makes our dad happy, you know, when we get together and do that.
Amen.
Something that maybe could help you if you're thinking, gosh, what can I do about that? We want to recommend a book to you of a good friend of ours, an amazing faculty member, actually one of the world-renowned faculty.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll name drop this, Dr. Yeah. Alan Schreck.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody actually this weekend, and they said, Dr. Alan Schreck is the star of the university that most people don't know about.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, he's
faithful.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
Such a faithful, wonderful man of God. Read anything he's written and you'll be good. But particularly, he wrote a book.
25 years ago.
Yeah, Catholic and Christian. Mind-blowingly good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, even for this class that I'm teaching, one of the guys that was a part of it with me just says, what about Catholic and Christian? And it's given me the chance. I mean, I read it forever ago. Mm-hmm. it feels like it was written yesterday. I mean, no, it's not really, an old really book. And what it does is it shows the unity and some of the differences of Catholicism and Protestantism. And what's great about it is you will learn more about being Catholic from reading this book. Sometimes, actually, we need to see things in contrast to really understand them. And, you know, many Catholics don't know, you know, justification. Yeah, we're justified. Oh, wait, that's what that means. Oh, right. And then sometimes you'll even go, oh, wait, I thought the wrong way about that. So it's not only a great opportunity for unity, but you will absolutely learn things about the Catholic faith that you wouldn't have normally, just because you can see it in contrast with another faith tradition coming at it from a different perspective. And then you'll be able to ideally have just really good dialogue.
I mean, Catholic and Christian by Dr. Alan Schreck.
Available where all fine books are sold.
Yeah, right. That's a great book. I would say that's in the top 10 books that I've suggested to other people.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic.
He's great.
Yeah, it is really
wonderful. So we got some good feast days coming up this week.
My birthday. Happy.
Wait, no. That's next week, isn't it?
But next week is this week. We go Wednesday to Wednesday.
Next week was next week.
Well, next week is next week. But
so what is this week? Last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know what's now?
No wonder I'm so tired.
That's right.
No, but
because this is Wednesday to Wednesday. So my birthday is next
last week.
Tuesday. It's next week.
Which is this week.
Which is this week for our listeners.
But next week for where we are.
Yes.
It's kind of like a time machine going on here.
Is this a scene from Spaceballs?
It is. The conversion of St. Paul. Which is one of my favorite.
Monday, January 25th.
It's the 25th.
Yep.
It might be one of, no, it is one of my favorite.
Is that right?
Yep. First off, my middle name is Paul. So I've always had an affinity to Paul. And in fact, when people say, you know, other than St. Francis, and that's right. I would say my favorite saint is probably Paul.
Wow.
Yeah. But one of the things I love about Paul is, first off, the Lord took Paul's gifts and talents. And when they got focused on evangelization, he changed the church, changed the world. And that he didn't have to not have those skills and talents and just kind of leave those behind. But the Lord took those, utilized those to bring forth the kingdom of God, which was a great blessing.
St. Paul is one of the few saints that has more than one feast day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got multiple.
Well, what does he have? He's got the conversion, mm-hmm. his death.
Yeah, Peter and Paul.
And then he shares one with Peter and Paul. So I guess that's two and a half?
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah. One of the things that I love about Paul, particularly in his conversion, if you think about, and this is, I think a lot of people struggle with this, about their past. Hmm. If you think about a saint who had a past, I mean, Paul's desire was to destroy the church.
Right.
You know, we first hear about Paul at the martyrdom of Stephen. And I mean, that was his soul. He was going around killing people and destroying. And then the Lord intervenes in his life. And it's interesting because we pay attention. Paul gets away for a while. Some speculate 3 years. Just that kind of reflecting and probably dealing with his junk. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, all these things that I did.
But I just want to highlight that, you know, especially for listeners, because when you read the book of Acts, all the scriptures, the New Testament at least, are, you know, about 2,000 years old. And sometimes the way narratives were written are very different from the way they are today. And chronology is a very tricky thing. Chronology is the backbone of modern history and storytelling. It wasn't a big deal back 2,000 years ago. So, for example, the Gospels, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the stories are all in somewhat categorized, but also in different orders. And sometimes people, you know, my students, as they start studying the gospel, will be like, well, wait, which one happened when? And I just have to say, look, the authors weren't trying to go, this happened, then this happened.
Was this Tuesday or Thursday?
Right. It was just like, oh, when he was in Galilee, he did a bunch of these things. And when he was traveling around, he did a bunch of these things. Oh, and then when he went to Jerusalem, he did a bunch of these things. And if it wasn't for the Gospel of John, which gave us specific feast days, you know, we can tell by the amount of Passovers that were celebrated in the Gospel of John, we would have no idea that Jesus had public ministry for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it almost feels like that was a really busy 3 months, you know, that happened. But that may be more tangential than what we wanted to do, but in a similar way, I remember I was blown away when I realized that, I mean, it feels like when you read the book of Acts, Paul gets converted, and then the next thing he's doing is he's doing his apostolic ministry. Like, you know, 2 days later, he is the great thing. Really, he took about 3 years. That's what they figure. where he was just in the Christian community.
Learning.
Dealing with his crap. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obedient to the apostles' teaching. I mean, really just, and I think there's a beauty to that. I mean, you know, that really shows us how important it is that the Lord gives us times of healing. The Lord gives us times of study. I mean, he had to ask a lot of questions. So tell me more about this Jesus guy, you know, who I had a vision of.
Right, right. There wasn't this sense that when he had that encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, that everything made sense to him. Right. I'm sure he had a million questions.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's you know, those of you who are listening and you say, well, you know, that was great and the Lord's done great things, but my story is such a, the Lord wants to use you. And,
amen.
And don't let your past and don't let your sins and don't let your struggles and don't let you not knowing and you not understanding and you still having questions inhibit you from being able to share the gospel and being able to care and love and build the kingdom of God. I mean, God is going to use that, but we can't let our past and what we've done in our histories prohibit or stop us from being who the Lord wants us to be.
In fact, in many ways, the worst our past is, the more the Lord can be glorified by showing what he can do, you know, with someone like us. I mean, someone like Paul, somebody who was persecuting the church. Did you see the movie Paul?
I did.
You know, I think one of the beautiful things, if that would be another thing to plug, if you haven't seen the movie Paul, it's just a great movie. I mean, it's just really wonderful. And it's Paul at the end of his life. You know, he's in prison. He's being visited by Luke, played by Jesus Christ. He just has these flashbacks of his previous persecutions, and you can see the guilt. And the way that gets resolved in the movie is, like, I started to tear up. Yeah. It was really, I wasn't just starting to tear up just then. I had something in my throat. But it's really a great movie and just a great thing to reflect on.
Yeah, so I love conversion. And then the other is conversion is that we have a tendency at times to look at conversion as a singular event. Mm-hmm. You know, conversion of Paul, great, that's over. But that wasn't the case as well. It's that there were all kinds of experiences that Paul had that drew him deeper into the Lord, and that's our story as well. It's, you know, I remember somebody said, you know, when did you have your conversion? And this is to go back to, you know, the Catholic Protestant. That's language that we're not as comfortable with or not as familiar with as if there was the singular day. And there are all kinds of opportunities that Paul had as he grew in faith and grew in understanding and wisdom. Same with us. You know, there are moments of conversion, God willing, all the time.
That was a beautiful gift of St. Francis and, you know, Franciscan spirituality, the language of ongoing conversion, which the church always had, but I think really beautifully expressed through St. Francis and Franciscan tradition, this idea that we're never done, like God is always working on us, and it's a beautiful thing.
And if you think about it, I think the evil one wants to cause us to be discouraged. It's like, oh, you're never done. But if we think about it, it's like, okay, right now, today, I am the perfect one. You know, I'm as good as I'm ever going to be. It's like, oh,
that's a lot worse.
I hope not. I hope not. Right. Please, Lord.
Yeah.
So the evil one wants us to be discouraged. The grace of Jesus wants to encourage us. It's like, yes, you're not done. Yes, the Lord wants to continue to do work in you. So.
And he's going to do things that beyond what we can ask or imagine. I mean, I love that scripture. Just beyond what we can ask or imagine. And that's the hope. You know, that God's going to do something with my sins and my junk and my messes and my weaknesses. And as I continue to come before him, and I know he does this because, to be honest, my asking in my imagination is pretty small. Mm. Like, I, you know, want to stop being a jerk sometimes, and God's like, I got bigger plans for you, know. And
that's a good start, but
right. Yeah, I'd just be happy with these little things. If I could just stop this, or if I could just maybe spend less money, or if I could just, and the Lord's like, you have no idea. You know, you have no idea what I have in store for you. And I think reflecting on St. Paul and all the wonderful saints of this week, we've got St. Marianne Cope, you know, the Terrible Towel, right? Patron saint of the Terrible Towel. Syracuse, nun from Syracuse who ended up in Hawaii ministering to the leper community along with St. Damian Molokai. The next day after the conversion of St. Paul, which happens to be my birthday, the feast of Timothy and Titus. Mm-hmm. You know, again, these are just two people Paul really invested himself into and had such an impact in the life of the church. All of this should give us hope that no matter what's going on in the world and no matter what's going on in ourselves, God is bigger, God is greater, and God is good. Like, God loves us. He's got a plan. He's got this. And we really just need to be able to keep our eyes fixed on him with a confidence in his mercy and a confidence in his grace.
Amen.
That he can transform us and through that transform the world.
Amen. Well, let's just end there, Bob. Lord, that you would continue to shower your Holy Spirit upon us and those who are listening with us today. Lord, that you'd fill them with your grace, give them a spirit of hope. Once again, let them recommit that their hope is in you and in nothing else. In this week of Christian unity, we do pray for unity, unity in our country and in the great divide that we're experiencing over the last many months and years, Lord, that you'd bring healing, you'd bring restoration. Heal your body, Jesus, that we not be broken, that we not be divided, so that we might bring the joy that you desired and that you prayed for. May Almighty God pour out his blessings upon you and your families. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, Bob.
Hey, thank you to Father Dave, and thank you all for listening and spending time with us. We're so grateful, and we pray that this is a blessing to you. Share the word about this podcast. Let other people know about it, and please send us your stories of hope at hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. Thanks again for listening. God bless.